This is Spotlight on Africa. Coming up in the program, China cuts a massive deal to erect giant oil refineries in Nigeria. Egypt denies an extra drop of its Nile water to upstream East African countries. ICC prosecutor Ocampo's investigative trip to Kenya, and the ANC's Julius Malema gets a mere reprimand for his slam dunk of gaffes and bad conduct. Thank you for joining us. I'm William Nieba. We start with Nigeria, where China has signed a $23 billion deal to build three refineries and a petrochemical plant in the country. President Goodluck Jonathan is counting on the new refineries with a capacity of 750,000 barrels per day to meet local demands for fuel and gas. Nigeria's four refineries are currently performing at less than 30% of their capacity due to poor maintenance and systemic corruption. Obadiamai Lafia is an ex-governor of Nigeria's Central Bank and director of the Institute for Policy and Economic Studies in Abuja. He told me that the entrance of Chinese capital into Nigeria's oil sector is good for business and good for the people.
Hey, let's have more Chinese coming here. Let them invade us. Let them take over. Somebody once wrote a book called Young Man, Look East. It is time for the people of Africa to look east. Shell paid some money to the Kensarawiwa family recently in an out-of-court settlement in the United States. It tells you that these people have not been completely honest. I mean, who has been polluting the Niger Delta since 1959? It's the oil companies. All this gas flaring technology, they brought it. They've been doing it for God knows how long. And I can tell you, Nigeria probably gets only a fraction of what is actually due to the taxpayer from all the massive profits that these oil companies have been making. You look for people who want to do honest business with you in a win-win situation, not in a neo-colonial mindset.
Obadiamai Lafia, director of the Institute for Policy and Economic Studies, on the line from Abuja. We go to Uganda, where four African countries have signed a new treaty to build irrigation and hydropower projects on the River Nile, despite strong opposition from Egypt and Sudan, who have control of more than 90% of the water flow on the 1959 treaty. Ethiopia, Uganda, Tanzania, and Rwanda inked the new framework at a meeting in the city of Entebbe, while Kenya issued a statement supporting the accord. Isaac Musumba is Uganda's Minister of State for Regional Cooperation. He was part of his country's delegation at the signing ceremony.
We have now begun the road to realizing our vision on how we are going to use the Nile waters sustainably and at the same time while paying attention to the needs of everybody. For the last 10 years, member countries have been negotiating to mutually share the Nile. A window has been left to continue negotiation with Egypt and Sudan.
Isaac Musumba, Uganda's State Minister for Regional Cooperation, speaking in Entebbe. Egyptian Foreign Minister Ahmed Abdul Gait says that Cairo's water rights are a red line no one should try to cross. Dia Ahmed El Kwosi is a former deputy head of Egypt's Water Research Center. He denies that Cairo has been arrogant in negotiations for a new accord.
In Egypt, we use every single cubic meter of water twice to three times before it is disposed to the Mediterranean. Egypt actually shared the construction of Oyin Dam in Uganda, and Egypt implemented huge cleaning projects of Lake Victoria in Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania. We are cutting this from our flesh and blood. The total amount of rainfall in the basin is 1,600 billion cubic meters. And what reaches Aswan by the end of the day for the benefit of Egypt and Sudan is only 5%. You have 95% of the water in the basin, upstream, to take unilateral decisions. This will be the biggest mistake anybody in the basin can make.
Dia Ahmed El Kwosi, former deputy head of Egypt's Water Research Center, on the line from Cairo.
Spotlight on Africa.
Our next destination is Kenya, where the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, Luis Moreno Ocampo, concluded a five-day trip to the country this week. Ocampo spent time meeting with the victims of post-election violence there that left more than 1,200 people dead and hundreds of thousands of others displaced. Ocampo said he had narrowed down the list of the suspected masterminds of the violence from 20 to 6 and plans to return to Kenya in October to complete his work.
We're planning to present cases against two or three individuals. This is a very, very fast investigation. In our case, we have no more than 30 witnesses. The crimes we're investigating here are crimes against humanity, widespread or systematic attack against civilians. It's important to investigate these crimes to be sure that in Kenya in 2012 is a peaceful election. Kenya will send a signal that if you commit crimes, you go to The Hague.
ICC Chief Prosecutor Luis Moreno Campos speaking in Nairobi. Paul Muite is former president of the Kenyan Bar Association. He told me that the ICC chief prosecutor's trip had brought the era of impunity to an end in the country.
He's obtained the confidence of the Kenyan people, who since 1963 have been treated to the culture of impunity by their rulers. They steal elections, they carry out political assassinations, and the people have been powerless. Really, it is not the number of people who might face charges, two or three or four. The impact will be profound, in the sense that the balloon of impunity will have been punctured.
Paul Muite, former president of Kenya's Bar Association, on the line from Nairobi.
Spotlight on Africa.
The controversial youth leader of South Africa's ruling ANC party, Julius Malema, must be pumping his chest after receiving a mere reprimand for unruly conduct. Malema was fined €1,000 and ordered to apologize by a disciplinary panel. He had swollen the ranks of his enemies after branding ANC leader Jacob Zuma worse than ousted former President Thabo Mbeki after promoting the racially charged song about killing white farmers. Brian Suduku is spokesperson for the ANC. He says the reprimand was the right punishment for Malema's bad behavior.
He did submit a written apology to the president, Jacob Zuma. He will spend 20 days attending an ANC political school where he will be offered help on anger management. Should Comrade Malema be found guilty of contravening the ANC constitution within the next 2 years, his membership of the ANC shall be summarily suspended. This is serious. This is serious business.
ANC spokesman Brian Suduku in Johannesburg, ending this edition of Spotlight on Africa. Do join us again, same time next Saturday, for another edition of the program. From me, William Niebuhr, here in Paris. Thanks for listening, and goodbye.